This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Our Father, I will wait for you. We will wait for you. We are waiting for you. And it sounds, Father, that you still have got to come. But you are already here. You already created heaven and earth. And before that, you were already there. You're the Alpha and the Omega, what we've been singing just now. And thank you, Father, that we can still wait. Because you're going to speak to us. And when we are waiting, then we're setting other things aside. And then we are focusing on what you want to share with us. And that we can come like that this afternoon, Father. That we are ready to receive from you what you want to share with us. And thank you, Father, that we can bind whatever wants to distract us. Other things which are maybe happening at the moment in the place where we are watching or where we are listening. That we can bind it in the name of Jesus Christ. Things which kept us busy earlier today or this week. Or even which still have got to happen, which we are already thinking about. That we can set it aside. That we can set our mind and our focus on you, Father. That we can sing along with Shane and Shane. I'll wait for you. Speak, Father. We are listening. In Jesus' name. Amen. It is sometimes happening that we are asking a question to somebody else. And then the question could be, where we're talking about this afternoon, about belief, that we're going to ask that question, do you believe? And then a person could give the one answer or he could give the other answer. He could say, yes, I believe, or no, I do not believe. But this afternoon, I felt that the Lord is saying that we've got to have a look a little bit deeper in what it actually means to believe. What is the meaning of the word believe? But then also, what is included in that belief, which is attached to that belief? And then also, if we believe, what are we doing with it? Are we doing something with it? Or are we going to say, I believe, and I'm sitting on a couch, and I'm doing nothing. If it's correct, then you're going to see on my right-hand side, you're going to see the different words, which are a synonym of belief, of what we've got normally in our lives. Words like accept. So if we would say, I believe in Jesus Christ, I accept Jesus Christ, I admit Jesus Christ in my life, I conclude Jesus Christ, I have Jesus Christ, I hold Jesus Christ, I regard, I suppose, I think. And then the other one, which is very important, I trust Jesus Christ. I understand Jesus Christ. But these are synonyms of words which we've got at the moment in our life, what we've got at the moment. But if we take a look a little bit later at a word believe, when we find it in the Bible, then it has got something included which we do not find in dictionaries. And that we've got faith. Faith that Jesus Christ died for us and that he is our Lord and Savior. We also have got antonyms, which means things which are against it. Things which are basically the opposite of what this believe means. Those are saying, I deny Jesus Christ. I disbelieve Jesus Christ. I distrust Jesus Christ. I doubt Jesus Christ. I exclude Jesus Christ. I ignore Jesus Christ. I know Jesus Christ. I question Jesus Christ. I refuse or I reject Jesus Christ. There we can see that those words which are there are giving us a little bit of an idea of what is actually included in that word belief, what is in it and what is not in it. A few weeks ago, we spoke about John 1, verses 12 to 13, where it is talking about that single act, what we're doing, what we're receiving, but then we're also believing, which is a verb. It is a continuation. It is something what's happening, a continuous process of sanctification. And that word, that verse out of John 1, verses 12, goes as follows. But as many as received him, to them he gave, and as then Jesus gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who have got a personal trust in Jesus, who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, not of the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And if we take a look at that word believe, what John is using over here, he's used it 98 times in his gospel. 98 times is referring to that word, but he always uses it as a verb, which means it is something which is happening. It's not a noun, but it's a verb, what he is using over there. And the belief means that you've got faith. But then also what's included is that we've got faith specifically what Jesus Christ has done for us, and that we put trust in Jesus. Faith and belief are very close to each other. When we've got faith, then we believe. And when we believe, we've got faith. So it tells you that it's actually more or less the same. Both of them, if we're talking about the words when we find it in the Bible, it's included in it that we trust Jesus Christ for what he has done for us, that he's our Lord and that he is our Savior. Like I just now said, believing it's a verb, it's a process. And the process starts once we get once we get saved. And then the whole sanctification process, the whole journey of walking with God starts. The verse which I would like to quote over there is 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 13. But we are bound, we've got an obligation to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification, through that journey by the Spirit and believe in truth. So once we are saved, then we are starting that process. Then we are busy with that believing. We're busy with the sanctification. We're busy with the holiness process. We're busy with the process of getting holy. It is something which continuously is busy. It's not a matter of once we believe it's finished, and then we wait for Jesus to come back. No, then the whole process is starting. We are continuously busy with it. But what is attached to that belief? What is included in that word belief? I'm going to start with a scripture which maybe sounds a little bit strange, but I felt doing like that. And that is James 2, verses 19. Where James is making the next statement. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Now this verse, when I read it for the first time many, many years back, and also thought it's a very strange verse. But if you look at it and if you take it apart, then you can actually understand what James is saying over there. You believe that there's one God. And what he's doing there, he's talking to Jewish people. And he's telling those Jewish people, the true Jewish people, would each and every day, that they would mention that what they call the Shema. They would do it each and every morning and each and every evening. They will call that Shema, which we can find in Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 and 5, where it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. So James is talking about you who are saying that you are believing that God is number one in your life. Because if we take a look at the commandments as well, God is saying, I'm the only God, and I should be the only God for you. And God gave them that instruction. Each and every morning, each and every evening, you've got to remind yourself again that you don't forget about it. I'm the only one God. There is no other God. Because what's happening in this world, we've got so many gods, including ourselves. Things like cars and work and other things could be very important. God is saying over here, only one God, only one thing where you bow your knee before. And James is mentioning it. You believe, you believe that there's only one God. You've done well. You actually do well that you believe that there's only one God. Because if you believe there's only one God, then that's the foundation of which your belief is built on. But then he carries on, and then he says, even the demons believe. And then you think, yeah, the demons believing as well. The demons were well aware of the existence of Jesus Christ. And what are they doing? They tremble. They are shaking. The Greek word over there is friso. And if we go to the English word frisson, it means that you're thrilling, that you have got fear, that you're trembling. They were shaking because they knew who Jesus was. They knew that Jesus was the Son of God. And that word tremble, it's the only place in the Bible where it is used. That trembling, that chilling, that they were afraid of it. Because it even says that the hair stand on end, so that your hair will be rising as well. And that even that your surface of your skin will start to contract, that you get gush flesh. This is all included in that word. So you can imagine yourself when the demons were talking about Jesus, when they were in the presence of Jesus, they were trembling. They were so afraid. They were full of fear. And James is comparing the belief what the Jewish people have got and the belief as what the demons have got. There's another verse in Mark which is also talking about it, that the unclean spirits, that they were also very afraid. When Jesus was with a large crowd, we were following him, and Jesus were doing great things, and they were following him for the great things. Then it also says over there in Mark 3, verses 11, and the unclean spirits, when they saw him, when they saw Jesus, fell down before him and cried out, saying, you are the Son of God. So here we can see that the demons and the unclean spirits were testifying who God is, who Jesus is, that he is the Son of God. I'm going to try to explain it a little bit different. If I'm going to say that I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior, but I'm also going to say in the same way that I believe that Vladimir Putin is the leader of the Russian people, then is that belief what I'm reflecting over here, is that going to get me saved? Is that going to bring me to heaven? Or is there more which has got to be done? And there we can see that there's more which has got to be done. It's not a matter of just acknowledging that Jesus Christ, who Jesus Christ is, but we also have got to trust him that he is our Lord and Savior. We've got to see him that he is our Lord and Savior. And that we also have got to say, but I love Jesus Christ because what he's done for me at the cross, what we're going to be reminded of later on in the sermon as well when we do the communion, what Jesus has done for us. But what Satan is doing and what the demons are doing, they're just doing the first sentence. They're just acknowledging with their head, but it doesn't go through to the heart. With us, it goes through to the heart. And that's the difference what we've got between the believing, what we as Christians are doing, what Jesus is concerned, and then the believing what the demons and what the unclean spirits are doing. So there must be a change of heart. Something has got to change inside our lives. But when I read these verses, then I thought, if the demons are trembling because they know who Jesus is and what Jesus has done, they know that he's the Son of God, and if the unclean spirits are falling in front of him and that they are crying it out, you are the Son of God, how much more should we as Christians have this in our lives as well? That we bow our knee before Jesus, that we say, you are the Son of God, and that we cry it out, and that we tremble as well in the presence of Jesus for who he is, because he's so great, he's the Son of God. But this first 2 verses 19, we just have got to read it in a little bit of a bigger context. And if you take a look at a paragraph in the whole of James, and if you've got time, you can read it at home. then there are a few verses around it which is helping us to understand what has got to be attached to that word believe and what is actually included in that word believe. First one which I would like to read is James verses 2, verses 17. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, it's dead. And James is mentioning it three times in that paragraph, that he's talking about faith needs works. If faith hasn't got work, it's dead. Nothing is happening. James 2, verses 26, he's repeating it again. For as the body without spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. For the body without spirit is dead. If we take a look at the Greek word over there, it's pneuma. And pneuma can mean that it is breath, but it also can mean that it is the Holy Spirit. So if we say, if the body without breath is dead, we know that. If a body is not breathing anymore, if there's no oxygen coming in anymore, going to the brain anymore, the body is dead. And he compares it, that if we've got faith and it's without works, is as dead as that body without breath. If we take and we say we translate it with the Holy Spirit, then it means that if the body, if we do not have the Holy Spirit, we are faith without works and we are dead. And then most probably there are some people who say, but wait a moment, stop the bus over here. Because you're saying that we should have faith with works. But if I'm correct, there's somewhere in the Bible, another guy with the name of Paul, who says, faith, you can only get faith through Jesus Christ. It's not work. So now you must probably say, wait a moment, we've got two different doctrines in one Bible. We've got James who says faith with works, and we've got Paul who says faith without works. The difference is when. Paul is talking, if you want to get saved, it's not through works. You can do as much things as you want to do. Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9 will help you with that as well, to tell you that it is not works which is going to get us saved, but it's faith, faith in Jesus Christ. So Paul is talking about before we are getting saved. James is talking about after we got saved. And after we got saved, we are doing the works as a result of our salvation. Paul before and James after. So it's not two different doctrines. They are helping each other, explaining how important it is that we should do works, but works at the right time. So we know a little bit of what believe is. We know a little bit of what is included and what is attached to it, what we've seen with the works just now. And now we come to that question what I just now asked. What are we going to do with that belief? What can we do with that belief? Are we supposed to do anything with a belief? Yes. We spoke about it last week. We've got to build God's kingdom with that belief. That belief should help us, that we can go and that we can share it with other people. On Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we've been praying as a global Shofar group, a Shofar movement, and we prayed. In Shofar Utrecht over here, we decided that we were going to pray for the vision what we've got, that we say we want to reach nations and generations through disciple-making, leadership training, and church plant. And then Monday was going to be about the disciple-making and about the leadership training, that we said, okay, pray about it, ask God if you've got to attend certain trainings or if you maybe have got to facilitate any trainings. On Tuesday, we prayed about the church plant. And on Tuesday, we also had intercession. But you heard a little bit earlier from Stefan then with the announcements. And then we also prayed about that. We asked God about the church plants. And then God reminded us again that we've got to carry on with Nijmegen. Nijmegen is on God's agenda. And Nijmegen has been put on Shofar Utrecht's plate. We've got to carry on with it. We've got to carry on. This is what God is telling us to do. And then on Wednesday, we prayed for the Netherlands. And we really have got that desire that each and every one is going to have an opportunity to hear the gospel, that they can make an informed decision and that they can say, yes, I want to follow Jesus Christ or not. And if you received any word from God when you prayed, and when God was showing you on the Monday, the Tuesday, or the Wednesday, or even maybe before or after that, but concerning Shofar Utrecht or concerning Shofar Global, then please share it with me or Renee. And if there's something that God has been sharing with you as well, what you would like to tell us, please make contact with us. Because this is where it is about, that we are seeking together God's face and that we're going to hear from Him of what His plans are for us in our lives. We've got to do something with it, with that belief. And I would like to read a part out of Mark. Mark 16, verses 14 to 18. If you maybe have got an ESV translation, because I saw that in the ESV translation, it's been put in brackets between verse 9 till 20. Because that part, apparently, in certain manuscripts, it's not mentioned over there. So there's a dispute about it. Should it be included or should it not be included in the Bible? But if we take a look at the content of it, then we can imagine what has been said over there, that it should be included in it. And it starts with it where Jesus is appearing to the 11. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief. He rebuked their unbelief. So they were not believing. They were unbelief. But the 11 people who've been with Jesus on earth for 3 years, who followed him day by day, who saw all the miracles, who heard all the stories, who heard that Jesus said, I'm going to die, but I'm going to come back. He told everything. We can read John about it in John 15 and so on. It's awesome how he spoke to his disciples just before he was arrested. So it's not something what he said in the beginning and then they maybe forgot it. But then they still didn't believe. There was unbelief with them. And he rebuked their unbelief and the hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Maria Magdalena went to them and said, I've seen Jesus. They said, no, we don't believe you. The two disciples walked along with him and went back to the other disciples and reported back, we've seen Jesus, we've seen Jesus. He didn't believe it. And Jesus is maybe a little bit harsh, but he's straightforward and he says, I'm rebuking your unbelief. Then he carries on in verse 15. And Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Straightforward. Very easy. You've got to believe and you've got to be baptized. We find exactly the same in Matthew as well. This is why we, with a certainty, they can say you can include it in the Bible because the words are making sense. And then he says in 17, and these signs will follow those who believe in me. So those are the things what we can do if we believe in Jesus Christ. Works what we can do. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. And then this part, what's coming now, they will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them. Which means if you're busy with godly works, and if the enemy really wants to make it difficult for you, God is there to protect you because you're busy with building God's kingdom. We are not going to drink poison, anything deadly, and then say, Lord, you've got to save us. We're not doing it on purpose. But if it is going to happen, if the enemy is trying to steal from us, then God is promising over here that he is going to be with us. Then lastly, it says, and they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So those are the things what we can do. Those are the works what we can do when we believe what God is giving to us and what God is asking us that we should do. When I was busy with the sermon, no, it was not busy with the sermon. It was Monday, I think it was. I got a picture of a tree. And out of the tree were made sticks, or you can also talk about a rod. And then I saw flowers. And then I understood that, God was saying to me is, you're sitting under a tree where you're getting the protection because it's shadow and it's a safe place and all that. But then those trees are made into sticks. But as soon as we've got a stick, we're not going to sit and hold the stick. We're going to walk with a stick. So that God is telling us that we're going to walk, we're going to move, we're going to move around, we're going to be in action. As what I just now said with that word believe as well. It's a verb. It means something is happening. And then we've got the flowers, something beautiful. And I feel that God is saying to us, of those who are prepared to stand up, to take up the stick, and to take up the rod, and to say, Lord, lead me, guide me. Then the Lord is saying, you're going to see flowers. You're going to see beautiful things coming out of it. I want to summarize. Today, God is reminding us that we should believe. It's maybe nothing new what you've heard this afternoon, but he's just reminding us again how important it is that we should believe. The same as what he said to the Jewish people as well, in the morning and in the afternoon. Hear, O Israel, my Lord God, the Lord is one. That you continuously repeat it for yourself. We believe, we believe. But then it's not just only the acknowledgement, but also that we've got that relationship with Jesus Christ and that we can do works with the belief what God is giving us. And God is asking us, are we prepared? Are we prepared to take up those sticks and to walk and to move? Or are we going to stand still and wait? Wait for whatever we think is necessary to do. And I really feel that God is asking us, and we're going to have time just now about it, that you and God can talk to each other of getting closer to God, moving closer to God, but also moving along with God so that you're not totally standing still and doing nothing. And then the least what we can do this afternoon is that we just can confirm, that we can say, I believe. I believe in Jesus Christ. And as a congregation that we can say, we believe. This is the foundation where we are working on. And this is the relationship that we've got with God through Jesus Christ. We believe. We're going to have communion just now. And after the communion, I'm going to give some time that you can pray to God, that you can speak to God, that you can say, Lord, here I am. But I'm going to ask you to confirm that you believe in him, that you believe that Jesus Christ died for you, that you also want to move, that you want to be in that sanctification process, that you want to be in that purifying process, that you want to be in that becoming holy process, and that you're open to be guided and to be led, that you can be used for something.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.